You know, I'm honored to speak to this group, and let me tell you why. For many, many years, youth violence and gang violence were considered to be an issue that where the police were the primary people in dealing with the issue, and that's a wrong philosophy. The people in this room, the people that self-introduced, are the people that are responsible and have the ability to deal with youth violence and gang violence in this community. And I listened very carefully to where everybody was from and what everybody's role in this issue is. And this is the exact audience that I want to talk to. So this is an opportunity for me to talk a little bit about my philosophy, the philosophy of the Los Angeles Police Department, the philosophy of the Gang Reduction Youth Development Office out of the mayor's, and what we think the community needs to do about the issues in Los Angeles. So first, little definition on what we're talking about. I've been a member of the Los Angeles Police Department for a really long time, and thanks for emphasizing that. And I started out as a gang officer not too far from here in Watts in the late 70s. At that time, the Los Angeles Police Department and indeed the city of Los Angeles considered gangs to be the sole responsibility of the police department. And that's the way we were trained, and that's the way we addressed the issue. And we made we arrested a lot of people. We did a lot of law enforcement, and the problem didn't get better. The problem got worse, and that led to the issues during the 90s, where this city suffered over 1,100 homicides per year, about 60% of which were gang related. Imagine that. That's 600, more or less, young people, not shot, not injured, dead from gang violence a year. Two a day, every day. Unacceptable. Totally unacceptable. No civilized society can endure that kind of damage, hardship on a generation of youth and survive. So we have made progress. And we've made progress over the last about 7-8 years through a different way of thinking about how to control gang violence. And you notice that I always talk about violence. You know, I grew up in Los Angeles. I grew up on the streets in and around here. I'm very, very familiar with the community, our culture. I'm not worried about gang membership. I worry about gang violence, and that's what I discuss. I'm a behavior person. If your behavior's proper, then you're good with me. So, and that's the way I look at life, and that's the way that I insist that my officers look at their jobs. A person's immigration status, their membership in whatever organization, I don't care about that. If your behavior's right, then we're right. So we look at it a little different. And Guillermo talked about the four-pronged approach, and I think that's really important. And I'm gonna go through that, and I'm gonna talk about what I think about it and what the police department thinks about it. But let me continue with a little bit about where we are in gang violence in Los Angeles today. So remember, I talked about 1993, 1,100 homicides, about 600 which were gang-related, more or less two a day. As of today, this year, 2009, we've had 288 homicides in the city of Los Angeles. We're going to end this year at right around 300. Now, and about half of those are gang-related. And almost all of those gang-related, almost all of those 150 gang-related are young men killed by handguns on the streets of the city of Los Angeles. And now that number, you'll hear us talk about it, the fact that it's greatly reduced and that we've made tremendous progress and we've reduced gang killings by over a half in the last 7 years. But that number is still unacceptable. There's about 100 people in this room, give or take. Imagine 50 more. Imagine this group half again bigger. And imagine that you're all young. You're all, well, many of you are young. Not you, Martinez. And you either, Johnny, so don't be looking at me. So my point being that 150 young people died this year, and that's unacceptable. We've made great progress, yes. I'm very pleased with the way we're going, yes. But have we got to where we need to go? No, absolutely not. And the people in this room are the solution. The people in this room and this kind of discussion are how we will get better. Because I cannot enforce my way out of this. I cannot, you know, yes, we need more cops. Yes, we need to be more efficient at our job. But that is not what controls this behavior. This behavior is controlled by this community. This behavior is controlled by the partnerships that you see at this table. This behavior is controlled by what is expected in our schools, by what is allowed in our families. So very important. So talking a little bit about the four prongs that Guillermo and I so strongly support, and he talked about them, but I'm going to reemphasize them because it's important that you not only hear that the mayor's office believes in this, but you know that I believe in it, and that you know that the Los Angeles Police Department supports this. And this is very, you know, this is not rocket science. This is a very basic way of thinking about the problem. First, keep kids out of gangs. Don't give up any more of our fifth graders to the street gangs of Los Angeles. So keep kids out. That's prevention. So many of you in this room are involved in that. And there are so many ways to do it. And we talk about it all the time. School programs, summer night lights in the parks, keeping the parks open later, having alternatives. I say is extremely involved in this. Give kids something to do. Don't let the streets take any more of our kids. You know, if we had continued at the rate of youth homicide that occurred during the 90s, we would have exterminated a generation. And no civilized society can do that. So give alternatives. And that's why I am so supportive of the mayor's philosophy. And Guillermo talked about it. Targeted, we have limited funding, so put it where it does the most good. Yes, every place in Los Angeles deserves youth programs, and every place has youth programs. But when you have money from the mayor's office, from the city, target it at those with the most need. That's the way I deploy police officers. You know, I don't deploy them by population. I deploy them by need. And that's the only way you can do it. Now, if we had adequate resources, which we don't, then we could spread them in a different manner. But right now, target towards need. That's why the 12 grid zones are so important. That's why it's not only the grid zones, but Guillermo talked about the method of determining service in those zones, the at-risk factors. He doesn't like that word, but I'll use it. The at-risk factors, because there is risk. There's huge risk. The downside of not keeping kids out of gangs is exposing them to homicide, to prison, to a cycle of violence that has continued in this community for way too long. So I totally support prevention. The police department's involved in prevention. We have a number of programs. Most of you know about them. We have the PAL program. We have the Explorer program. We have the different activities, the boot camps. We have a lot of youth programs, but I've only got 10,000 police officers and 3,000 civilian employees, and we're a city that has 1 million children. So it can't be the police department's prevention programs. It has to be the community's prevention programs. It has to be the school's prevention programs. It has to be everybody's prevention programs. Everybody has to take responsibility for changing young lives. And so that's why I'm so pleased to talk to this group, because everybody in this room has an opportunity to do that. So prevention. best money spent, because stopping something before it starts is the right way to do things. It's not only it's not only a smart way to spend money, but is the moral and ethical thing to do. Keep kids out of gangs. So that's the number one approach. The number two approach is intervention. And so many of my partners in intervention are in this room, and I respect them, I support them, I will continue to be their advocate, as I have been for many years. Matter of fact, one of the first meetings I had with organized intervention groups was in this building several years ago. And I will continue on that path, because I believe that young people can change, that you should give people a second chance, that the ability to get kids out of gangs by case-based intervention is real. It's effective, and it works. And we have some kids on this panel, some kids in this audience, who are evidence of that. And I believe in that. But I also believe in making peace, in that peace-based intervention, violence interruption, however you want to put it, street work by intervention workers is effective. And I don't just believe this, I know this. I've been the captain of Rampart, I've been the chief of South Bureau, I've worked every kind of gang assignment you could possibly have in South Los Angeles. And I've seen it done every way. And the most effective way is that when my resources, the police resources, collaborate, we do our jobs, we solve crime, we put people that deserve to be behind bars. But I reach out to the community to stop crime, to prevent crime before it happens. Don't live in the past, address the future. And that's what intervention is about. I tell them this all the time. My job is to solve the last one, your job is to stop the next one. There's a line there. Intervention and I work together. They don't work for me, I don't work for them. We work together. We have the same goal. We want to stop gang violence. We want to stop youth gang violence. And by working together, we can do that. So the third piece is, and Guillermo talked about it, is prevention, and that's what I'm in charge of. Suppression. And that's what I'm in charge of. Now, suppression has to be targeted. It can't be general. I lived through the days of Operation Hammer in the 90s. That's ineffective. All that does is drive a wedge between the community and its police department. All that does is make people see police as another problem, another piece of the problem, instead of the piece of the solution. And we need to be seen as a piece of the solution. So we have to be effective. We have to be efficient. We have to target those that are violence prone, and not just those that are a piece of any of a street gang whose behavior is nonviolent. So we do that. That's why we have our top 10 gangs. We base that on the most violent gangs. That's why we do our targeted suppression. That's why you see police officers being so engaged in trying to get the worst of the worst off the street. And because I recognize that violence is controlled by a small cadre within street gangs. And if you can affect that cadre, then you can make a change. You can change their behavior. So targeted prevention. And then reentry. And reentry doesn't get talked about enough. And it's extremely important right now, because in times of lean budgets, which the state of California is going through, we're going to see a lot of people coming back to the streets from prison, and they need some place to go. They need options. And I say this all the time, and I apologize for those of you that have heard me say it too many times, but if this community, if the state, and the city, and this community doesn't provide options for young men, primarily young men, coming out of prison, then I know somebody who does. And that's the street gangs of Los Angeles. They have a tremendous reentry program. They'll give you support. They'll give you status. They'll give you a kind of, and I use quote-unquote love, but they'll also... There's also a price to that, and that price is reincarceration or death. And I've seen that too many times. What I don't want to happen is when there's a significant release of inmates that we just lock them back up. That makes no sense whatsoever. So there's those are the two things that will happen if there are not community state-based reentry programs. Either the gangs will take them back and the problem will worsen, or my folks will lock them up and we'll be trapped in a cycle that will just result in re-release. Neither of which makes any sense on a fiscal or moral level. So we have to have reentry programs, and they have to be effective, and they have to be targeted, and they have to be community-based, because these young men come back to their communities of their birth. They have to be, you know, they're going to come back to their neighborhoods, and there have to be options in the neighborhoods. So we work on reentry programs. There's a couple of good ones, but there need to be more, and they need to be effective, and they need to involve the whole community. Everybody has to realize that people deserve a second chance. Now, I'm not real big on third and fourth chances, but everybody deserves a second chance. And those third and fourth chances, that's my problem. But we need to recognize that we're going to have young men coming back in this community, and we need to give them something to do, and we can't ostracize them. We can't push them back into the gangs. And my people need to know that, and everybody needs to know that. So what are we doing about all this? You know, I outlined this, and I'll be really quick because we have other speakers. But I want to give a little plug for something that Guillermo and his folks are doing, and that so many people in this room are involved in, including the sheriffs. And that's our gang intervention academies, which are really a way to increase the efficiency, increase the professionalism of gang intervention, and also increase law enforcement's receptiveness to that tool. So the gang intervention academies are have gone out to bid. We've already had several classes. We're developing them. It is a great way to make this seen as a viable, effective part of the solution. It's also something that this community should support. It's also something that this community should recognize is a strategy that the police department uses, that the community uses. Right now, throughout Los Angeles, gang intervention workers are wearing the exact same communication devices that I wear, the BlackBerry, getting the same notifications that I get on gang violence, and expected to respond, and expected to create peace out of that. Not to solve the crime, that's my job, but to create peace. So important. Nobody else in the nation is doing this. This is something Los Angeles can own. So I'll end with saying this. Los Angeles is world famous for creating the problem of criminal street gangs. We have exported them partially through our suppression efforts throughout the globe. There are street gangs that began in Rampart and South Los Angeles all over this planet. Now, we have an opportunity, a great opportunity, from what's going on with the grid piece, what's going on with the police department, what's going on with the people in this room, to be seen as the region that exports the solution to the problem. And that's my goal. 10 years from now, I want people to look back and say, the solution started in Los Angeles, just like they say now, the problem started in Los Angeles. That is the responsibility of this community. That's the responsibility of this region. That's the responsibility of everybody in this room. And that's something that I feel responsible for and that I will continue. So thank you very much.